Oh, I love having Taj Mahal being our musical.
I do too, man. Yeah. It's a great jam. I find myself singing that just like we've talked about. Walking down the stream in the middle of the night doing snorkel surveys on the river when I'm fishing, just randomly.
You know, ever since we've started doing this, you know, just sort of taking a look at the river, I mean, with you, you have so many different perspectives on the river, and I've really fallen in love with the river. I think the whole valley, anybody who lives here should be very keyed in on the river.
It's absolutely,
you know, in some ways it's almost like the canary in the mine shaft, you know, that
it's our big, it's the artery, you know, the heart and the arteries of this valley.
And really, it's going to show us any changes that we get in our snowpack, which are probably likely to be happening. And it's just it's like a river of life. It's really,
yes, it is. But it is beautiful to sit and gaze upon, even if you're just sitting there looking at it.
Yeah, I know.
Not even fishing.
Yeah, it's like staring into a fire. There's not too many things that are like that. They're just almost therapeutic just in there. The vision of them.
You know me. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. I know. I'm talking to somebody who's totally on board with that whole idea, and I think most people are. So, but anyway, this is the Fishing Report, folks. And Leif, what has gone on since? Well, it's been about a week since we talked.
Yeah. Well, we talked before Memorial Day weekend. We survived that.
Boy,
that was a good push of folks. We had a lot of folks in town.
Hopefully, I don't know where they all went. It was,
hopefully they all had fun.
It was like a river of cars in front of my house.
Yeah, I bet. Out there was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Too bad you don't have a quick way around downtown there.
Yeah.
You need a second bridge coming that way.
Yeah, it was almost like a traffic jam a couple of times. But like you say, we did survive it, and it was good.
Yeah, we tried. You know, we had a strategy, my friends and I. We actually threw some a dummy camp up on Wednesday night before Memorial Day, because we know how it is around here.
Yeah.
And we've gone for miles to kind of be turned away at every stop. So we went Wednesday night, and we set up there by Rock Lakes, boy. It was amazing. We, you know, we had all our, you know, just my close friends and family, the boys and Aaron and you know, we had the trifecta that we were talking about.
Oh, you did?
Big old giant mushrooms. Your boy even showed up there a little bit late, but better than never. And
They ended up.
Yeah, they went up like for a second time and
30
just,
pounds per person.
Went big.
Yeah.
And I can safely say it on the air, because I can challenge you guys to walk the vertical mile up that it takes to to get to these things, and probably just tell you that the boys I think got most of them anyway. So you're going to be a little late, like most mushroom tips that you get straight out, especially on the air or in the paper. It's going to be something that's already happened.
Don't listen to us.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sure you could find them out there. It's just about elevation and northerly facing slopes.
Well, especially now, it's definitely going to have elevation.
It has to be close to water, north face, and you know, there's a ton of them out there. You just have to kind of, you know, think, you know, with your mushroom brain and,
you know,
look at the map.
Well, they're funny, you know. I mean, here at Twist Forks the other day, right out in the, they mulched around the beds with the bark and stuff like that.
Yeah, that beauty bark carries them.
Yeah.
Big time.
Those spores are just laying in there for, just waiting.
Well, it was the guy at Wild Hearts. I talked to him one day about picking, you know, down by the river in that area, and he's like, well, where you should go is wherever I put beauty bark down, you know, from the year before.
Oh, yeah.
And he said they just pop up everywhere. And, I found that to be true, too.
You know, that's a good little bit of a story, I guess you might say, that Mother Nature has these little packs ready to go when things are right, even after fires.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are things just waiting for that circumstance.
Like the cicadas or whatever, you know, they could be 14 years, 17 years underground, 7 years, 4 years. They have all these different, you know, and that's just crazy. I got stuck listening to one of those on NPR the other day, and luckily I had the whole drive to Wenatchee and back to listen to the whole thing. That was awesome. Yeah,
I'll bet.
A lot on that same line.
You know, I went to Grand Coulee here the other day for Woody Guthrie Days, and one of the things that, I think it was in some writings that he did, or maybe it was a song or something, and he was talking about salmon coming upstream. I think he said something like every 4 years, and you know, and I know they have different years, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to ask Leif now. Is there a, you know, a, well, 1 year, a 2 year, a three? Is
yeah,
there,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you have everything from, you know, sub adult, right when they go to smolt and swim out, they could become sexually mature enough to the males to fertilize a female. And we've talked about this one in the past. There's the precocial par and the smolts, and they're like, they call them the sneakers, and mm-hmm. they'll just hide behind a rock, and they're like 4 to 6 inches long sometimes. And in some of these streams, they've found them to be, fertilizing some 30-40% of some of these eggs in some places. So yeah. There's footage of them hiding behind a rock, and right when they see that motion and the commotion start to go down, they'll sneak in there just like their namesake and mm-hmm. sneak in their genetics. And then as well, yes, you'll get, what we call jacks, which are like a fish that only went out for a couple of years, came back. You know, they're mm-hmm. usually about 14 to 16 inches long. You'll get micro jacks that are like 10 inches long, 10 inches long. And then you'll also get, and those are probably like the smolt that went as far as maybe the estuary, fed and came back or whatever. Okay. And then you'll also get, the usual 3 years where they usually should come back, but they don't. I mean, some of these, it's a built-in, yes. Mm-hmm. Like the springers and the summers can come back at 3 or 4. So then you get like a really big fish when they come back at that 4 year. And then there's, some like our steelhead with the idioparity or the multiple life cycles where, as we've talked about in the past as well, they can either come back as a younger steelhead or an adult steelhead, mm-hmm. and then they can repeat spawn the next year or the year after that. 2 to 3 times.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I find fascinating about getting to know more about the spawning cycles and so on, is all of that variability that's built into them or is allowed.
The fail safe.
Yeah. It kind of covers for catastrophes mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. different things that, maybe 1 year didn't work. It's not like they're wiped out.
It's part of that resilience of fish, man.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So what have you found out there on the river fishing?
Well, I should finish the Rock Lake tale because we got the camping and the mushrooms. That's part of the trifecta, and I cannot leave out the fishing. I went down there for about 2 hours, 3 different times, and my average was about 30, 35 fish each time. So a little over 100 fish in about 6 hours of fishing, what would be a full day of fishing.
Holy mackerel.
At the lower lake there. So I would definitely encourage people to go check it out. I mean, it's not much for shore access, but if you get a float tube out there or a little cat boat like I had, and Thomas and I were just sitting there laughing, and our buddy Corey joined us. It was just amazing. And the upper lake was the usual brook trout scene. I went up and got 5 of them for dinner one night.
Nice.
The same frequency that you'd usually see. You could maybe get up to about 10 or 20 in an hour. Uh-huh. It was kind of windier and colder up there. There's a little more cover in the lower lake, and you don't have to. Man, it's really thick trying to bushwhack a tube up through there. So, I'd say maybe just go, because it's got a little more shore access at the upper one. Hit that from the big boulders or something, mm-hmm. And then hit the other one in your tube.
Cool.
And, man, just can't beat it. And there was supposedly a small wind kill last year there. Of fish. Mm-hmm. Maybe about the same time Frost did the same thing, that windstorm. Huh. That lower lake can actually get kind of warm, and I see it turn over and get green up there at Rock Lakes. And so evidently after seeing a few hundred fish up there on the surface, they decided it might be a good idea to fill in a little bit of the numbers, and so they put in some rainbow trout up there too. So that's part of the reason the frequency was way up, and did manage to get the trifecta out of the lower lake with a lot of cutthroat, about 15, 16 inches, and a lot of rainbows, about 10 to 12, and then one brook trout that must have made its way down from the top lake, too. So definitely go to Rock Lakes. Pretty awesome.
I'll tell you, it sounds awesome.
The trail's a little rough getting in there. I will tell you that. It's only about 70 yards down, but it's fairly vertical, and there's some trees over it from the fire. So
you got to have something that sort of sorts the man from the boys.
Exactly.
Otherwise.
So. Yeah, it's definitely worth a visit. And then, I got down into the river, did a few trips on the river, and, it's still running high, but got into some great fish. Boy, one of the people I had out was a younger kid, about 17, super new at fly fishing, got into a couple of really big cutthroat and managed to land one down here by the twist barrier that was just, it was awesome. He hooked into it on one side of the river, and we were pushed out of there by the current. Had to swoop it all the way across the stream, and boy, it was just peeling off, and we got it close to the bank, and I had to jump in right at the last second. I just knew it wasn't going to hold longer, and got that fish in the net. The fly popped out of his mouth and got the kid a real nice picture. I mean,
what a good day for him.
It was a great time.
Well, those are the times. And before we go, folks, we're going to touch on how to get in contact with Leaf. And
you bet.
And he'll show you the way it should be done and introduce you to something maybe that you're not familiar with, or even if you are familiar with, you can probably pick up some pointers from you.
Oh, you bet. I mean, I've been fishing this water since I was a kid, and yeah, you know, about 40 years old now, and so I definitely know the bottom of it like a topographic map, and that can make a difference in knowing what it's going to be like at different stages. You know, I only feel like in the latest part of my fishing life here, I've figured out how to fish the higher water, which is a challenge that's come more and more often with the way the weather's been.
Well, exactly, and that's what I was real curious about. Since I saw you last, it's probably not dropped as much as we thought it was going
to. Yeah, I mean, it got close to the level I was thinking, but then we just didn't get the real, you know, historically you could kind of count on that cool down we were talking about.
Yeah,
and it may still come in like the second or third week of this month, but for now, gosh, we're looking at like 100 degrees almost, about 90, 99 on Sunday. That's going to do nothing to calm this river down. We're sitting right now at about, oh, it was like 4,700, and we're definitely going to go back up above, you know, 5, 6, maybe even touch 7,000 again. So, you know, June is going to be volatile. Hopefully we don't lose too much of that snowpack, though. Otherwise, we're going to go from looking, you know, kind of sunny and good kind of forecast for the summer to looking kind of dusty and dry.
Yeah.
So we'll just hope it cools down a little bit.
So is there a cutoff flow that you don't really consider fishable?
I would definitely say, I mean, we're really close to it right now. I mean, at about 4,000 or 5,000, you can still get some fish out of here and there. I mean, you really have to know where, because it's not many places. And I mean, it's fairly safe still just for a pleasure cruise in the upper river, you know, say Winthrop Twist, but might be pretty unproductive, you know, and even if you do know what you're doing, once we get up to that level, it's just kind of hit and miss too.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's going to get back down here. That's seasonable, you know, 4,000 to 2,000, and then be, you know, what my daddy always said was just don't even really have big plans until July 1st as far as anything real reliable. It kind of sucks, and you will all the time, you know, get some here and there before that, but...
But it's a good. It's always good to have rules of thumb.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay,
it's almost like gardening rules for fishing.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
Don't fight it before this point.
So, have you heard any reports from lakes?
Lakes, you know, I've just heard that they're all doing really good right now because they're kind of at that optimal temperature, and the fish are really starting to get active in their feed. You know, I know that they're kind of starting to get into the spawn up at Black Pine Lake, so some of those cutthroat will be a little bit picky, but I was, you know, kind of given thought to now being the time to hit those mid elevation lakes like Lewis and Black Lake, you know, those would be some, and Roger Lake, those would be definite places to be going right now and checking that out. And some of these tributaries, you know, they can be a little bit mellower, like Boulder Creek.
Good point.
Go in there and get some brook trout. And, you know, some of these lakes might even surprise you. You just got to check out the exposure and the altitude before you head up there. If they're south-facing and they're, you know, right up around that 3,000 to 4,000 mark or even lower, then you should have no problem getting in there. Right now, though, like I say, is the time to go to Black Lake and take your float tube, because the hike isn't terrible. It's about 6.5 miles, but it's, you know, I think it only gains like 700 to 1,000 feet in the whole time or something. And just take that sinking line, because it's deep, and get that down there and troll or cast at the drop-offs on that lake. And boy, you can get into some beautiful fish up there.
That's great. Well, good report, man.
Hey, thank you. It's always good to see you. Always good to get in here and, you know, lay the word out to the people.
Remind folks if they want to take a trip with you.
If you want to check out the blog or you want to listen to a podcast, just go to flyfishersproshop.com. If you want to send me an email directly, you can find me at metoutfishingadventures@gmail.com. And if you'd like to just shoot me a ring to book a trip or get some fishing tips, give me a call, 509-429-7298. Don't forget, keep that sunblock and that fish right on, baby. 29-pound catfish on the bottom, then my collar. Took them home, mama, by supper time. Sing me the fish bites if you got good bits.